a little stalk.
Basol, take one.
It's a big old fat motherfucker called
Blizzing Buzzard Buttocks.
Big Rigger Inspection Spatial.
Under my feet.
Look, the biggest heavy band of all time.
I wouldn't ask you to do a drum roll if your arm fell off.
There was an incident with the pyrotechnics.
And Kirk!
Squillions of dollars and squillions of people.
How the fuck are you, Lars?
Piddly wants and wills and needs.
Lars Ulrich, drums and bongs.
What the fuck does that mean anyway?
I hate that fucking camera, man.
Well, since we started.
I'm talking about like a fucking live gig. You see this for, right?
What really gets my dick hard?
Mommy? Where's Fluffy?
Hi, this is Chloe Trujillo, and you're listening to End Podcast for All.
Lights next to everybody. We got dots next to everyone. It says everyone is actually recording. Welcome back to a podcast for all. I'm Shane Obershaw.
And I'm Jeff Winslow.
And would the two other of the four horseflies like to say hello?
Howdy.
Sup?
Bob, Larry, Jeff, Shane, insert a bunch of buzzing fly samples here, would you, Jeff? That's perfect, because we're not even going to insert samples. This is going to be like, this episode is going to be up and available within the next 30 minutes. This is how quick this chat's going to be.
Cool.
That's how they all should be.
Okay.
Yeah. Party with the animals.
Welcome to season 11. We don't have an episode number because this is a pop-up special. Breaking news
one-off
today. I love one-offs. Breaking news today, Jeff, Larry, Bob. The drumroll news, Jeff. Drumroll, please. In hard rock, heavy metal news today, Creed is getting back together.
Yes.
Breaking. Hear all about it. Hey, that wasn't a guarantee that Creed's getting back together, but it sounds like it's a damn good possibility.
Didn't Tremonti say it's probably going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, he said that with how popular and how big they were at one time, it would be silly not to do it.
Awesome.
And of course, I'm reading through the comments and people are like, oh yeah, they weren't that big, this and that. I'm like, 50 million records sold. That's pretty fucking big.
Doing all right there, Clark. Jeff, you and I are definitely going to see fucking Creed.
I would totally go see that. I'd be down. That'd be pure entertainment.
Creed and Ghost.
I was like, Creed and, I thought Creed and Nickelback
Jesus
would be a...
Jesus is coming.
See, I thought... Yeah. Creed and Nickelback for like the ultimate, like, I hate this tour,
right?
For, you know, like that's what they could call it,
for all the haters,
for all the haters. But secretly they're all a bunch of fanboys. They just don't want to admit it.
I'm excited for that. But Jeff, what I really want to know from you, are you more excited for Pantera in Creed in 2023 or today's big ass excitement about Screaming Suicide?
It was a big day. It was a big day today. And there's a lot of...
Don't avoid the question I just asked you.
Oh, what am I more excited for? Oh, boy. Well, both.
Okay.
I'm going to split right down the middle, you know. In today's culture, you got to be careful. I got to choose my words carefully here.
Right. Yes, Lars. It was, I'm just going to say it was a mind fuck of a day.
It was interesting, to say the least. I definitely...
The gang from To Live Is To DFW Met Club sent me that screenshot at about 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a good way of finding out when shit's coming out with a release date on it. Something big's going to happen today. So
right,
of course
I didn't expect it.
No, we posted it. We got all excited about it. And then the day went on and on
and on and on.
And,
on.
And I'm like, we're going to look really fucking stupid if we posted that and this song doesn't come out today.
You texted me.
You're like, this ain't happening today. I'm like,
I didn't think it was going to happen. Because normally when you release a song, you want it released like early. It's like they kind of just, you know, spring it upon you. Everyone wakes up to it. That's usually how it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple Music or whatever it is. Like, it's there when you wake up. And this, it's like there was this weird kind of build up to it. And at first, I'm not going to lie, I was like, this is fucking weird. Like, you know, if you're going to release a song, people want the full day with it, yada, yada, yada. But then the more I started to think about it, I'm like, this is totally classic Metallica doing what they do best. They knew that it was going to start floating around all over the internet. Everyone was going to start talking about it. Everyone was going to think that they got duped. And then bam, there's the song.
Weird timing. Like, it's usually associated with, you know, a radio show, a Howard Stern show, a morning show, some local radio station. But by the time I got to Fort Myers, Florida, it was like, it was past 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, it was a bizarre kind of turn of events, how everything went.
Bob, we know that you are the master of the Metallica boards, the chat room boards, the social media. You must have had 16 windows open, clicking refresh every 9 seconds. Am I correct?
15 windows. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the release date was actually on the website for like 10 minutes this morning. Is that correct?
I guess. I mean, that's that's kind of what I was gathering, and some of the there were some screenshots floating around the forums too, saying, you know, showing that, and then something with the YouTube page had something, you know, that was quickly deleted.
And like the Spotify's and all that shit had like pending, or Amazon said you can maybe purchase this later, maybe.
And then I think eventually the track list or the running time showed up.
I was in the air most of the day, so I was texting you guys. I'm like, is it out yet? Is it out yet? Is it out yet?
Yeah, it looked like every hour.
This ain't going to happen. We got so fucking duped. Either it was a technical meltdown or Metallica just said, ha.
Well, you know, thinking about it, and this is something, too, that the forums were talking about, that there was a whole thing that people thought it was going to come out on Martin Luther King Day on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were like, well, what's the association, you know, why would that happen? And the single day tickets go on sale tomorrow, so I think everybody thought it was going to be the beginning of this week.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, and then what Jeff was just saying, you know, you want a song to you know, sort of be with you the entire day. And I'm thinking about it now, it's like, well, it'll be with you the entire day tomorrow while you're trying to get those single day tickets.
Single day tickets, January 20th, on sale now. Larry, how was your day? I see you coughing down a huge, what do you call that?
Cup of tea, cup for my throat.
I think it's breakfast of champions, a bowl of Wheaties.
Some some drinking music, maestro.
My vitamin THC.
I see your smoke filling up your whole camera. How are you tonight, man?
Oh, you know. Just living the dream, really. Again, another single, another day, another watching Facebook in the same link posted over and over again. And, you know, I'll just say, I knew they were going to drop a single to coincide with those tickets. I knew it was coming.
Oh, Mike Mueller just hopped in. Hey, Mike, welcome to a podcast for all the special pop-up special.
I scream, you scream, we all scream for suicide.
Wow. That's a good way to get us canceled real quick. Holy fuck. That's that.
That was
nice episode, gentlemen.
That wasn't too appropriate there, Mike, but hope things in Mascoot are going well. Did you have a good day at the factory waiting for the single to drop?
Oh, was driving me fucking nuts. I've been waiting for Suicide and Redemption all day.
No, Screaming Suicide, Mike. You're thinking of the Death Magnetic track.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I can't believe that they gave the bassist Newstead a credit on this album.
No, Trujillo got the credit on this one.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Newstead. We're in the Rob era now.
Not enough Mick Cafes to keep the old ticker running tonight.
Oh, we've only been in the Rob era for about 2 decades now. Yeah. Not enough time, though.
Going on
maybe,
20.
Maybe by the third decade, he'll get some respect.
Going on 20 years.
At least I didn't call Kirk Dave.
Well, gentlemen, Screaming Suicide, track 3 off of 72 seasons. I'm just going to, can I jump in and tell you what I think of single number 2?
Sure.
You sure
I wish
can.
You would.
Please.
Yeah, please do.
This is going to be brutally honest, and I have some cliff notes since Jeff and I are in the cliff notes version of the discography, as I would say.
This is like the cliff-em-all everything.
This is just too much. Screaming Suicide. I'm going to go right down the list of notes I wrote, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. The intro reminds me of My World. Dun, 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 dun. Very close. It has an Atlas Rise feel. It has a close tempo to Atlas. It has riffs like Atlas. It has a lot of drum fills like Atlas. I really dig the lyrics on a serious note about the whole suicide topic, suicide awareness. It's very well done. And when you dive into the lyrics on Metallica.com, the lyrics are fucking awesome in this song. But it has a feel where there's some choppiness. The arrangement's a little, it's not as tight as Lux, in my opinion. It has a little Judas arrangement to it. There's parts where the hi-hat is keeping time way too long. There are parts where the hi-hat is louder than the vocal. It reminded me of like a Justice mix. I was very surprised by that. The bridge reminds me of the Now That We're Dead intro. Out of 10, I give it a 6.
Thorough.
Fair.
Hell of an assessment, sir.
It's going to grow on me. Do I think it should have been the second single? No. Lux Eternal, a lot better? Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
A great.
Times 3.
Great first single.
The part.
One more thing. Oh, go ahead.
The part that kills me. These are some of the best lyrics I've seen in 15 to 20 years.
Just not to some of the best music.
No,
in 15
it's
to 20
like,
years.
It's like a repeat of Atlas with Judas fills and Judas arrangement. It's like these lyrics and
this is
the exact topic that James is hitting on is fucking amazing. But it's like they came up just short with such awesome lyrics for this.
This is where I'm going to have to stop you because comparing it to Atlas, I think, is an insult.
Whoa.
To Atlas. That's a great song. This song, I like the main riff, like when it first, like, you know, like the verse riff.
Does it remind you of Atlas at all, though?
I guess I can kind of get a little bit of Atlas vibe, but, you know, I'll agree with you. I think the lyrics, I think they were good. I think it was kind of a deeper, almost darker James that we were looking for. Almost that kind of load reload, like we were talking about, bringing out some of that really, you know, kind of some of the darkness there.
Dude, these lyrics put Magnetic and Hardwired to shame.
I agree. I think the lyrics were well done. I don't really like the song, and I don't want to sound like a hater, but I didn't really like it. I thought it was. Lars's drums on that song for some reason just drive me up a wall. They sound to me very, very programmed and triggered. They don't sound natural at all. The fact that he keeps doing those little like on the double bass, it's like, why are you doing that? It doesn't sound natural. Some of the fills, like they sound programmed. And
there's a lot of Atlas Judas kind of snare rolls up to that first rack tom fill.
But that's the thing is like on Judas, you can clearly tell I mean, there's not a lot of triggering going on Death Magnetic. Hardwired, definitely, it's starting to get a little bit more of that feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeling a little less natural, a little bit more robotic. And now on this song, like, I literally feel like this song was put together in Superior Drummer. Like, for all I know, Lars didn't even play it. They programmed all that shit MIDI. That's, like, literally how...
Jeff, it was done during COVID at his house.
Yeah.
And he emailed his parts to Fiddleman.
And guess what? I could program all those same drum parts to sound just as robotic. It's like they don't... I know he played it, and I know as he's gotten older, like, you're going to need some kind of assist to make it sound perfect, but they almost made it sound too perfect, if that makes sense.
Yep.
It doesn't sound natural anymore. That's it, I don't like it.
The one part that drives me nuts, there's a dugatu, 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 dugatu between the kick and the snare.
Mm-hmm.
It is identical to Judas Kiss shit. Dudatu, dudatu, dudatu,
anything dudatu. That reminds you of that song and you're like, you're pushing back.
It's funny because of how much I've talked about how cookie cutter band-aided Judas is together, but some of those transitions and how this is arranged, you have amazing fucking riffs, amazing fucking lyrics. The parts just aren't there. And I was like, this song is going to have to be one step above Lux. And it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. It's good, but lyrically it wasn't.
Lyrically, it was above Lux.
Absolutely.
Lyrically, I thought it was much better. I thought it was 10 steps up, and the music was 10 steps back. You know what I mean? It's weird, because like I said, that main like verse riff, not the intro, the My World kind of sounding intro you were talking about, but like when it kicks in with the hi-hat and then it goes into the straight, like, that's a great riff. I think the verse and the way James sings it sounds good.
Yes.
And at first when it kicks in, I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to like this. And then it gets to the chorus, and that's where it really ruined it for me, because Metallica is a metal band, so they don't need to be writing quote unquote catchy sing-along choruses. But there was nothing about that chorus. Like, if anything, I feel like the chorus has that kind of like Judas choppy feel where it's like, it didn't really make sense. There's nothing
listen
that...
listen well, better listen well.
Yeah, like it doesn't... There's nothing that caught my ear where I'm like, oh, I want to sing that back in my mind, mm-hmm. or I want to hum that riff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what really bummed me out. I think it's because Lux was so fucking good that the bar was set so high. And this one just... it came up a little bit under par, in my opinion.
Don't ever speak my name. Remember, you're to blame. I gave it a 6. What do you give it, Mr. Winslow?
It's like a 4.
Whoa.
Harsh.
Maybe even a 3.
Outro marks, man.
Yeah, it's like it's down there, and it really bums me out, because like I said, when it first started, I thought I was going to love it.
Like,
and
the
then,
first 20 seconds?
Like the first maybe even minute of it, I'm like, all right, this is good. I'm digging it. And then honestly, like the more it went on, the worse it got for me. I was like, oh.
Because you heard the transitions and the choppiness.
Yeah. And it's a shame, because like you said, lyrically, it is hands down one of the best, mm-hmm. one of the, you know, most real emotion we've felt from them as a band lyrically.
Okay. A 3 or a 4. We're going to take an average here.
What do you mean?
Out of 10, what'd you score it?
Oh, I got to choose?
Yeah.
Between one of the, can I go 3.5?
Sure.
I would go in the middle.
Horsefly, number 3, the Bob Signal. Your thoughts, Mr. O'Rourke?
Yeah, you know, when I first started listening to it, I think actually put the video on first. I was still working. So...
by the way, the video's great.
Oh, yeah.
Video definitely. Is great. Video's awesome. I will...
we'll get to that in a bit.
I should have started with that.
Yeah. I was, you know, maybe it's because I didn't have my full attention devoted to it because I was still working, but it felt like I was a little surprised that I didn't, as soon as it started, it didn't immediately like grab me and be like, fuck yeah. You know, like I was still excited. I think Lux grabbed you. Yeah. I think the first couple listens definitely felt like they were maybe clouded by my excitement for it, you know, like
mine too.
I've been amping it up, you know, literally all day, you know.
Fair enough. I think that's fair to say for everyone.
We all had this big buildup all day. We're like, this is fucking awesome. And then there, as the song goes on, you're like, wait a minute, what was that? Wait, oh God, what was that?
Well, and again, like I was saying, with the bar set so high with Lux, that's in your mind, you're thinking, all right, they came out with this banger. The rest of the album has got to be, you know, and I don't necessarily mean like heavy, but like they all got to be bangers too, just like that. And
this felt like a track 9 or 10 to me, not yeah. 3.
Yeah.
Well, and not a like single this either.
Not a single, and it's like, this is what I expected like a 9, 10, or 11 to sound like.
Yeah, musically.
This should have been in the next 18 seasons. Like, they should have released a Beyond 72 seasons.
Yeah, that should have been on the EP.
Yeah, we got all 4 songs. If you just chop this up into a couple 2-minute songs, we got a whole EP.
Beyond the Seasons. What else you got to say about it, Bob?
Well, you know, musically, you know, I hear you guys, watch you guys talk about it. Since I'm not a musician, some of that stuff goes over my head. So maybe I don't catch some of the arrangement issues. So to me, it sounds okay. It sounds, you know, like I said earlier, somebody had said, you know, it's Metallica being Metallica.
It sounds like Metallica for
sure.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
sure.
Yeah.
It
ain't
Saint
Anger, it ain't Lulu. It's great.
Yeah, lyrically, that's where I connect with a lot of the Metallica songs. And I mean, Shane,
you always have.
Yeah. You already hit it with how deep the lyrics are. And just as a heads up, I just saw one of our Facebook friends, post about it. And, you know, they said that Metallica's new single made me sob hysterically. Every line of it, every word, my life, my struggle. Thank you, Metallica, for once again, this band has truly changed my life and still impacts it to this day. And
wow, sure.
You know, that's all I can ask for, you know, in a song that it affects people that way. So that's awesome.
100%. And now I feel like an asshole for hating on it, because it's such a like
no,
a
you don't,
real.
You don't hate it.
You're not hating on.
I don't hate it. I meant like hate on it. Like I'm ragging on it. You know what I mean? Like dude. I feel because it is. It's like
there's hate and there's disappointment.
Right. I don't hate it. I definitely don't hate it. I feel a little let down. That's all.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think. Let down.
That just shows you how good Lux was.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I mean, I would give it, you know, probably a 7.
Okay.
You know, out of a 10.
7 from Central Florida.
I'll give it a 7 too, Bob. Out of 100. I'm just kidding.
That's too much math.
Yeah, I can't count
too
that.
Too many zeros.
Uncle Larry, fly number 4. You are up, sir.
Yeah. So I got to say, I agree with a little bit of everything everyone said. I don't trust my initial instincts because I have to, like, bring myself down. Same way you were saying, Bob, like, the first couple times, it's still that anticipation. I went in on the video, and I would say, like, that entry point versus flipping the headphones, cranking, and really focusing in. The things I noticed in that go around, because I was less focused on them playing, the graphic treatments, the lyrics, like it was almost sensory overload with the video and a secondary experience, which I found myself sort of tuning out a little bit. Like, I think it's powerful lyrically. I think we're getting these songs that are almost an amalgam of not only the lyrics that we've heard before, but snippets of songs. Like, there were moments that felt Saint Anger's. There were moments that felt Load-ish. There were moments that felt early Kill 'Em All-ish. So it's like, is that going to be the motif of this album? We're going to get audio that's snippets of all the best Metallica moments. There were moments that were
like that.
Rainbow and New Wave of British Heavy Metal and Moth. Then I started sort of like dissecting it as, sure, we're looking at it through the critical lens of Trues and Metallica diehards, right? But let's look at it from a, like Bob was saying, and like we were just talking about, a message and outreach. And I also think there's part of James that intentionally didn't refine it, because this was written during COVID when he was probably in the midst of the struggle. And I feel like there's an intentionalness to it being disjointed and fragmented. And I think he's trying to get to
that's a great point.
The struggle. So they're trying to be unconventional with the music. Even Kirk's solo felt a little withheld and then really schizophrenic all over the place, loose, like, you know,
and
almost
you know,
Dimebag on the whammy.
Normally I'm pretty critical of what Kirk does. That was my, like, my one criticism, if you will, with Lux, is that I thought everything about the song was awesome, but I wasn't a huge fan of the solo. Where I gotta say, I don't mind the lead work that he does in this song. Maybe it's just because it sounds different, and I like that. I like the variety. I like the fact that he's not playing just the within reason typical Kirk Hammett leads. So I feel like I found myself enjoying some of the lead work a little bit, but definitely not his conventional style or sound, if you will.
He's got the same kind of style in this solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wah and Whammy set aside. It's like the first four measures are smooth where he's doing less. And then the next 4 to 8 measures, it's busy. And it's like, no, dude, go back to that simple shit you were doing where you're almost keeping the melody going.
Yeah. And I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying with that. Whereas if it would have just kind of looped again, and maybe he just changed like a tail end of it just to make it a tiny bit different or whatever.
Like the last 4 or 8 measures, like when Larry says you went kind of schizophrenic, I'm like, you're it's too busy for what's going on there. I know you want to fucking rip, but the in the pocket simple shit for the first four, pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he speeds up and gets excited,
it's like, no.
Like, Kirk, you're too old to be playing that fast, dude. Just bring it back a notch. Come on, bro.
Play like you're 60.
Yeah, exactly. Just lay in the pocket.
Play like David Crosby.
Yeah, it was like, keep the Thin Lizzy vibe that you had going, Kirk. Like, keep that It's Killing Me borderline vibe that you had going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I was going to say, too, is while the lyrics are really powerful and the title's really powerful, it felt like the chorus was building, and then it was like, we just got to say Screaming Suicide in here. And it felt very thrown in, quick transition, stuck on into aggression Hetfield, where it was like, I felt like it was going to be more melodic and a little bit more of that same Lux thing where we're going to go up and then maybe we get like a punch of.
See, that's what I was saying, is like when you listen to the chorus, there's nothing there when you're listening to it. You're like, oh, hey, I hear that melody line he's singing. I'd like to sing that. You're like, I would really prefer to not hum that. You know what I mean? And I felt like the name of the song could have been.
My name is Suicide.
It could have been a little bit more ingenious, in my opinion. I think Screaming Suicide is kind of a cop out, a generic, just because they say it in the chorus. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
we have to scream it. It's already implied that we're screaming it, you know?
Right.
Screaming at the end. Like,
this is why when the album comes out, I don't want to do a review of it right away, because statistically in my past of albums that have come out,
Jeff has to digest a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I need to digest a lot, but I need, I want to actually give it a real chance, because I've listened to this song twice today, and that was all I really had time to listen to. And off the 2 times of listening to it, I wasn't a big fan. But now listening to what you three had to say, I actually want to go back and I want to look for those little parts that each one of you guys are talking about and listen to it closer now. And statistically, with all the albums that I've listened to growing up, I have found that not every one of them, but a lot of albums that I usually, or songs for that matter, that I don't like right away, usually end up sometimes being my favorite albums or favorite songs. So that's the thing, is like, you know, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit too quickly with this song. I need to go back and just kind of take it in a little bit. I also, like Bob, was at work, so I couldn't fully, like, you know, dive into it 100%. You know, I felt like I got to hear enough of it to make a fair assessment for the first, you know, go around. But
yeah, fair. You gave it a 3.5.
Well, that's, you know, I'm being honest. I wasn't a big fan of it. So, you know, Lux, that's like a 7, 8, 9 out of 10, you know, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Lux is about an 8.5 in my book.
I'd put it probably at like an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a high, and again, I keep going back to it, but the bar was set very high. So maybe we'll get one more single out of them before the record comes out. At this point, I'm kind of hoping not. I would like it to be like, all right, just let the album come out now.
Word is sometime in March.
For the next one?
Yeah, I think somebody said give you March up,
throwing
13th,
down a rope, 18th, a lifeline of hope.
I feel like they're just fucking with us because it's like, what is the rest of the album going to sound like?
They're good at it.
Right? Like,
they are very good at it.
It's a roller coaster right now.
For me personally, the upside to all of this is because the bar was set so low with this song, I feel like the next song, it doesn't... I mean, it would have to be like fucking weird, like some Lulu shit, you know.
Too far gone?
To go even lower. So I feel like now... At this point, we can only go up from here, at least for myself personally.
Can a song go higher than number one, Jeff?
I don't know. Can we get a song on this record that's a 10 out of 10?
All right. Let's see. Can a record, can a song go higher than number one? Is there anything above that?
My favorite lyric, never give you up, throwing down a rope, a lifeline of hope. That flows so fucking well when he sings that part. Like, oh, yeah, I love that line.
I like
it's
that
perfect.
Vocal melody that he's got that. You know, the, I guess, is that the hook of the song? I think that's pretty cool.
Did you notice the spoken words are back?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I didn't mind that.
The spoken part's cool, like To Live is to Die, Sandman. It even
James has got a good voice for that. So
Ronnie.
I think it's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Ronnie.
What'd you say, Bob?
Judas.
No.
It's the best song ever, Shane.
So if Uncle Larry had to give it a 1 to 10, what do we got there from Pittsburgh, PA?
It's tough because, like, I would put, like, an Atlas at a 7, and if you compare it to Atlas, which we keep doing, I
Jeff
can't give
like
it a
that.
7 in good faith. Mm-hmm. So it's probably between a 5 and a 6 for me. It's one of those things where I also need to marinate, and every time I listen to it, right. I like it a little more. And also, I'm trying to, in my old age, be less critical because I feel like we're lucky that they're still making music at all, and
you got a good point there.
Larry, make your mind up. Just give us a fucking number.
I'll just go 6.
Okay,
damn it. Now I want to change mine. I'm going up to 4.
Nope, it's already in stone. Jeff's a 3.5. I was a 6. Larry's a 6. Bob's a 7. Divided by 4, we have a 5.625.
Out of 10.
Too much math, man.
Way
too much. You know what, though? We talked about this the other day, Shane. The states are changing up the percentage for the grading system, so 5.6 out of 10, that's no longer an F anymore.
That's like a C plus.
That's like a C. Yeah.
Is this that new fucking math that I've been hearing about?
Oh, we forgot to ask Mike Mueller on a scale of 1 to 10 what he thought of today.
I think it was an 8 because of the message. Like, not as deep as Fade to Black, which gets me a little beclamped, a little teary eyed because it's just so goddamn beautiful. If this is a powerful message, less beautiful melody. I like the video. I like Lars's smolder. 8. Hard 8.
A hard 8. All right. Mueller from Muskuta, a hard 8. He brings the average up just a little bit.
I was going to say, that just brought our average up a little bit higher.
And all that special sauce they used in the video for the background. I love that.
Good shit.
Did you notice in the video, James's mic is not plugged in?
No.
Why would it need to be plugged in?
To look like it's somewhat real.
Everybody knows he lip syncs in the video.
That's
so
true.
It's
he's lip synced for the whole 42 years. We know that.
He didn't need.
I said in the video.
He didn't even need a microphone in the one video. How about that?
That is a good point. There's a lot of videos where there's not a mic.
Jack Black doesn't need a microphone. He said that in one of his songs. So
the mic is cableless, and Uncle Larry's Papa Hat pin is very visible.
You really expect them to have a cable plugged in just for the look of it?
Yes. It pissed me off, actually. It pisses me off.
Shane, you mentioning that Twiggy reached out 20 minutes ago and was like, congrats, dude. And so shout out to Twiggy. Figgy. Twiggy?
Who?
Figgy? The drummer.
Oh, Figgy.
The
Twiggy Ramirez?
Yeah, and also, I was thinking
of Marilyn Manson.
I'm turning actually into Mueller for real. Yes. I was mixing up Manson guitarist and Figgy.
Easy on the coffee, Uncle
Figgy.
Lair.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All these McCafes. Pow!
Too much caffeine. Goddamn.
Okay, so Figgy
so
from
shout out to
Georgia.
Figgy and also Twiggy.
Okay, what about Figgy? I missed like that whole, like, what about him?
He was the one that was he was blowing me up about the pin being in the video and congratulating me. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. Good kid. Good kid, that
Julian.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Great kid.
Golf clap.
Hell of a drummer.
And also that small stint he was in Manson as a guitarist under his alias.
For a quick second.
Bass player.
The video's cool. I love the black and white.
I like the black and white. That was cool.
Oh, I forgot one more thing that pissed me off about the video. Kirk is using the fucking... Oh, my mind's drawn. What guitar is that?
The demonology one.
Demonology, okay. Yeah. Fucking single coil pickups are in that thing now. Are you kidding me?
Oh, really? I have to look closer at that.
No bone breakers.
Bone breaker coils and the mic's not plugged in? Come on.
Yeah, but was the guitar even turned on?
Yes, I can hear
it. The guitar wasn't plugged in.
Shane, I'm surprised you didn't bring up Lars did the official That's Right toothpick in at all. He literally looks at the camera and finger wags. There is a finger snap in there.
Yep, in part of the song's too new. I can't even tell you what part, but I did get the finger snap.
Now, Lars doing that, is that akin to the 80s hair metal bands where like the drummer would point a drumstick at the camera and be like,
that's the new thing, Bob. You're right.
Come on, Lars.
35 minutes. Look at all we talked about for one song today with a 5.625 average.
It's been a big day, man.
Huge day. There was so much anticipation. I'm like, oh, God, if this doesn't work, we're going to look stupid.
The poster, too, or the band photo that was included in the article. That's badass. I like that red.
Give that a 10. Yeah. That's a 10.
And the fact that it's upside reflection? Down. It's cool shit.
I like that they're modding the graphic, too, like of the little angry blue balls guy with his flexing like Arnold. And now he's in a doorway or whatever.
So the guy in the doorway now is now the blue balls guy.
Yeah.
The shirts. What about the shirts?
Yeah. I think it's cool that they're modifying it.
Yellow one is like for chicks. Sarah Sarah can wear the yellow
shout
one.
Shout out to the Sarah Van for that one.
There you go, Sarah.
Yeah.
A bright yellow fucking beehive shirt.
I tried to order one. It's already out of stock. Sarah got them all.
Wow.
I'd look like Big Bird. I'd have to like bleach my hair and my beard.
Throwing down a rope, a lifeline of hope. Hell of a conversation, guys. 35 minutes. We said this is going to be 15. I say we cap it and just get the fuck out of here.
All right, let's do it.
Anything else, Bob?
No, man, but I'm excited to keep diving into the song and listening to it and hopefully
same here.
Finding a
deeper I'm definitely more excited to I'm
we,
more excited
we brought
to jump
Jeff's
in now.
Spirits up a little bit. Maybe next week he'll say, it's a 7 now. Fuck this 3.5. It's a 7.
No, it'll go up maybe up to a 4. We'll
okay.
See.
Find out it'll when you record next week's episode.
Next week's episode, don't tell anyone. It's already in the can.
It
continuing
is.
The Cliffham notes for Ride the Lightning.
So, guess which album isn't... Oh, wait, here he just said it.
Damn, I have no idea.
I was going to say, guess which album we're doing next.
The purple
album. Anticipation.
Uncle Lair, good to see you. Anything else?
No. Have a good night, fellas. Good chat as always.
Mike Mueller, good to see you. Anything else?
Stay fly and rock on. And hey, just know, you are not alone.
Wise words, my friend.
I love it. Gentlemen, it's been real on this pop-up special in the middle of season 11. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Keep buzzing.
And see you, bye. Keep buzzing.
Have a good one.
Drink those McCafes and see you later, Pizzle.
Don't be a jive turkey. One of my friends posted that. He said, we need to bring jive turkey back. So I said, don't be a jive turkey and not call someone a jive turkey.
Jeff and I are speechless.
Yeah, so Shane, when our show gets canceled because Larry's talking about screaming suicide and
right.
Bob's using the word jive in 2023.
That's right.
You can't even, dude.
Maybe the outro music should be screaming suicide since we didn't get to listen to it as a group.
I think that makes sense.
I think you should just cut off the episode right in the middle of one of us talking. Just be like, in the door.
And then 45 minutes of bipizzle at the end of the episode.
We lost the feed.
Bipizzle.
I got to go. I got to edit this right now. It has to be up by midnight. What the fuck?
Do it.
All right. All right.
They all said bye to you, Pizzle.
Well, they're all wet.
Pizzle says bye.
The Dodge Ram blasting, screaming suicide. And goodbye.
See you, Peggy.
Ta-ta.
I wonder if Pizzle listened to the song today.
Yeah, it's okay. I give it a 2. And bye.
And bye. Welcome to this life.